We'll escape into the November 4, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, with this rain report. Much has been covered about World War II. One subject that has been less so is POW message relays. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania psychologists Lisa Sparr and Austin Comacho teamed up to publish World War II, Radio Heroes. Ms. Sparr spoke about her book at the 2011 Dayton Convention this past May.
My grandpa was in World War II. He was a private, and he was a POW. But he's not the hero that I talk about in the book, although he was a hero in my life. And very many of my life decisions were made based on my admiration for him and for men and women like him who had served. Pappy isn't the hero that I talk about. It's actually shortwave listeners and ham radio operators who were a part of POW message relay during World War II. Now, I didn't know anything about shortwave radio. I didn't know anything about ham radio operators until a few years ago when I went home to Wellsville, Pennsylvania. That's where my family lives. And I asked them if I could go into the trunk that had all of my pappy's things. He and I only had 11 years together. It was a short period of time, but it was a really wonderful time in my life. And many years after that, in my early 30s, I said, you know, I want to feel closer to him. Can I take a look at the things that we have in that trunk? And sure enough, I found things in that trunk, like his German phrase book from the time that he served. I found his hymnal and his prayer book that was given to men in prisoner of war camps. And that was really amazing because he had written in the on the blank pages and in the margins. So that's really special for me to have. His selective service or his registration certificate. We found his uniform from World War II, his pipe, his eyeglasses, all these amazing things we found in there. We found the Western Union telegram that was written May 8, 1943. It was written to my great-grandmother. I think it's important to mention that my great-grandmother had 12 kids. She was pregnant with her 12th when her husband passed away. And she was facing, of course, a Great Depression. So she sent the kids out to work on the farms nearby, sent them out in twos and threes. And that was my pappy's early life, working on farms, earning the roof over his head and the food that he ate every day. 12 of the children, 8 were boys. When the war came, all 8 boys went off to serve in various capacities. I am very happy to tell you that all 8 also came home. So it's a very happy story, very good story for my family. But this is the Western Union telegram that my great-grandmother would have received. And it says, report just received through the International Red Cross states that your son, Private Robert M. Sparr, is a prisoner of war of the German government. Letter of information follows from the Provost Marshal General. So that was the official word telling her that her son, one of 8 serving, had been captured. But that wouldn't have prompted me to write a book. It was what I found next. It was a cigar box, and it said war letters. And I thought it would be love letters between my grandma and grandpa. I was convinced it would be. But instead, when I opened that box, I found a stack 2 inches high of letters and postcards written by men and women all over the country to my great-grandmother, telling her that my pappy was serving as a prisoner of war in Germany. Here's an example of one of them from Frankfurt, New York. Dear friend, probably you've already received a message similar to this, but I thought I'd inform you anyway. In listening to the shortwave Saturday evening, I heard the following message addressed to you. Arrived safe in Germany, signed Robert. And this person goes on to say, I couldn't get the last name very well, and the rest of the message I couldn't make out. So this shortwave listener heard over Berlin radio that my pappy had been captured and was serving as a prisoner. They took it upon themselves to write this note to my great-grandmother. They couldn't get my pappy's last name. They couldn't get the rest of the message, but they still wrote down whatever they could capture, and they sent it on to a woman they had never met. And that continued. The next one, Montclair, New Jersey. And I think it's important to look at the dates and listen to the times that people note in their letters and postcards. They were within hours, oftentimes, of the official telegram reaching my great-grandmother. So these people moved very quickly. This is May 10th from Montclair. Over German radio shortwave, I learned that Robert M. Spahr was a prisoner in Germany. He's well and requested that you be informed he can receive gifts through the International Red Cross. Olympia, Washington. Dear Mrs. Spahr, your son Robert is a prisoner of war in Germany. This one tells us that he was captured in Tunisia. I heard this message tonight on a shortwave broadcast from Germany. He's safe, in good health, and says that he'll write as soon as he can. And he asks you not to worry about him. Most of the messages ask that their parents or whoever's most concerned get in touch with them through the Red Cross and send packages. They ask mostly for candy and cigarettes. Some of them were penny postcards. Some were handwritten, some were typed. This one and several others were on full-page letters. This one on letterhead from the Dinkler Hotel chain. It's out of Birmingham, Alabama. And this woman, Kathleen Harper, typed her letter. And this paragraph here really moved me, the amount of detail that she went into. She said, when the Germans officially release Robert's name to the U.S. government, they'll notify you that he's a prisoner of the Germans. And they'll give you instructions how to write and send packages. The package cannot weigh over 11 pounds. It must not contain anything that comes in metallic containers, such as toothpaste or shaving cream. Nothing that comes in cans but pasteboard boxes and cellophane wrappers are all right. The boys have to wear khaki, so be sure and get khaki socks. You can send a razor and blades, also cigarettes and smoking materials. Dehydrated foods do not weigh much, and dried fruits are grand for them. A friend of mine sent powdered milk, and her son loves hot chocolate. So she mixed cocoa, powdered milk, and sugar. All he has to do is add the water and heat it. You cannot send literature, but you can write to the publishers, and they can send direct to the son. I do think the boys would enjoy Life, Time, and the Reader's Digest. The minute you receive Robert's address, please send it to me, as I've made arrangements to have a Bible sent to each boy.
You're listening to the first of two excerpts from a 2011 Dayton Hamvention talk by Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania psychologist and author Lisa Spahr, talking about World War II radio heroes, the story behind POW message relays. We'll return to her presentation in a moment. This is the Rain Report, heard across the United States from the Rockies to the Atlantic coast, from Canada to Mexico, Saturday evenings on 1860 kHz from Wentzville, Missouri, as part of the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter.
I was so moved as I was combing through these letters night after night. And the rule for me was, I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time. I took them all back with me to D.C. The rule was I'd read them until I started to cry. And once I started to cry, I had to put them down. And then I could come back to them the next night. And sometimes I made it through 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 7 or 8 before that happened. This one just stuck with me because I kept trying to think about the context. World War II, 8 boys serving in the war. A woman who had lost her husband, she's in poor health, and she starts to get all of these letters in. In total, we have 70 letters and postcards, again written by strangers all over the country, alerting us that Pappy was captured and being held as a prisoner. This one just moved me an inch more because of the level of detail that she goes into to try to bring my great-grandmother some comfort and tell her what she can and cannot send. This one's from Pittsburgh, so I typically show it. What's really significant for me about this one is it's written by Corporal Magdalene Holfield. She's part of the First Aid Ambulance Corps. In her letter, she uses the word safety over prisoner probably 10 times. So she continues to talk about, I'm writing to notify you of the safety of Robert M. Spahr. So she says he is a prisoner, but he's safe. And she keeps using that word, and I think she did that very deliberately. She also says that this has become a part of my organization's service to the people, to notify them of any news we hear of the safety of any of our boys. So she's making it really clear that this organization, the First Aid Ambulance Corps, has set out to listen to these shortwave stations and these messages in hopes to continue serving the people. What I did was, as I made my way through the 70 and as I began to scratch the surface of ham radio and shortwave and try to understand Berlin radio and how the messages were shared, I felt compelled to put my own letter together and to try to reach out to the men and women who had written to my family. Even though it was way more than 60 years later, I thought it was just the right thing to do. And if I didn't find any of them, that's okay, but I needed to try. I quickly put a letter together trying to introduce myself in this strange situation I was in, just saying I found these amazing shortwave letters, POW relay messages, and I'm trying to find the original author just to say thank you. And luckily I found some of them. One gentleman, Flavius Jankowskis, he currently lives in Chalfont, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, and he wrote this beautiful letter. It's right here. It says, "This is to inform you that I heard the following message from Robert M. Spahr, broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern Wartime, May 8th, 1943, via shortwave from Germany. Arrived safely in Germany as a prisoner. He's being held as a prisoner of war, POW, hoping that you get in touch with him soon through the Red Cross. I am sincerely Flavius Jankowskis." Well, I thought that was such a unique name that I might be able to find this guy. So I sent a letter to every Jankowskis I could find in Philadelphia. And sure enough, one called me, and he said, "Lisa, I'm not Flavius. Believe it or not, I'm not even related to him. But we do share the same last name, and so people always ask me about him. He says, I'm really touched by what you're trying to do, so I'd like to help you find him." Again, just amazing that people were willing to help me, a person that they had never met. A week later, he called me back. He found Flavius, and he gave me his phone number and his address. So within minutes, I was on the phone with Flavius. This is a picture of him around the time that he sent the letter to my family. He was 16 years old, and behind him is the Howard 430 radio that he used. And when I met Flavius, a few weeks after talking to him on the phone, he gave me that radio. And he tells me that it still works. My husband just has to shimmy up a tree and put a big antenna up there. So I'm still waiting for that to happen.